A little after 6 o'clock here on The Fan, we creep closer and closer to Game 1 of the ALCS. The Yankees, the Guardians, the pregame show coming up in about 53 minutes. We have been live from American Dream. This program sponsored by the New Jersey Hall of Fame at American Dream and by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, Sunshine in a Can. Yankees get set for Game 1 of the ALCS. The Jets get set for a game against the Bills. Now, the Bills have a couple of injury questions that we're trying to get answers on before kickoff. One of the questions was around James Cook. Frank Gore Jr. has been elevated from the practice squad and is going to be active tonight for the Buffalo Bills. So that could be a negative sign on the status of James Cook. They also have not elevated a wide receiver, so there are questions about Khalil Shakir on his possibility of being active. So it looks like things are trending good for Shakir and negatively for Cook, but we haven't heard official word. All I know is that Frank Gore, who retired like 35 seconds ago, his son is now going to be active and is scheduled to play his first game in the NFL tonight for the Buffalo Bills.
I thought for a minute he was going to try to LeBron James it, stay long enough to play with his son. It didn't quite happen. Because I think he's actually eligible for the Hall of Fame next year.
Has it been that long since Frank's retired, really?
I feel like it's coming up soon. Because he's been, I mean, obviously Adrian Peterson, he's in his first ballot next year. And I think right after, it's Frank Gore.
I see. Tiki's keeping tabs on the running backs.
Right.
Sorry.
Oh, you're right.
He better be in before Frank Gore. Tiki's not a compiler, all right?
Frank Gore is interesting, man, because he's not a Hall of Famer. But the part that you give him credit for is to play that long at that position is pretty incredible.
And rack up 16,000 rushing yards.
Yeah, that's insane.
On the number, by the way.
Right on the number?
16,000 on the number.
By the way, Frank Gore Jr. elevated time. Let's get A.J. Barber to get it going here a little bit. He's got to catch up.
Mets currently lead 6-1 on the L.A. Dodgers. They jumped out to an early lead. They have not been able to tack on since, but Sean Manaea with a pitch count of 73 through 5. So we'll see if he can get through the 6th and the 7th, protecting this lead, 6-1 lead. Mets trying to even up the NLCS and get it back to Citi Field for a primetime Wednesday night in Queens. We'll check in on the Yankee lineup in just a couple of minutes, but obviously Carlos Rodon on the mound in Game 1. Alex Cobb, who's bounced around, the guy's been everywhere, is starting Game 1 for the Cleveland Guardians. Did you watch Guardians-Tigers, by the way, on Saturday, Sean?
I was able to watch the last three innings. We had a big bout of Chuck E. Cheese for my kids'
birthday. Did you have any rooting interest?
Did you respond to my...
I said it was great, as always.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Oh, the pizza's still
great. I commented on his Instagram post.
Yeah.
Because we're always talking about Chuck E. Cheese
pizza. The garlic crust was incredible.
For a guy who never comments on social media.
I had to comment
on that. You responded to his Instagram post about Chuck E. Cheese?
It became a talking point on our show.
No, I know. I get it.
When Evan was in North Carolina 15 times this summer. Anyway, go on.
Only twice.
Okay.
Actually, three times.
Yes.
You know what? Maybe there was a fourth.
And then in Florida.
Yes.
Did you find any interest in that?
I did. I tuned in after Scooble gave up the Grand Slam. But, yeah, I was captivated for the last couple innings, and I found myself going, you know what? I think this is the path I wanted. I wanted the Guardians.
I mean, like, Cleveland's a better team than the Tigers.
Scooble.
Yeah, you were scared of Scooble.
Okay, that's the one thing Detroit had. I'll totally give you
but
that.
But he was the only one, though.
I completely agree. I think that's the only advantage the Tigers had. I think the Guardians have a better bullpen. I think they've got a better lineup. I think they're better. Look, the regular season means something.
Right.
It's not the end-all, be-all, but the Cleveland Guardians went out and won 93 games this season.
So, yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah, they're the better team. But, yeah, you got them. And you know what? You turned out to be right on how important having home field advantage is. Because think about this, Yankee fans. This is the first time they are hosting an ALCS Game 1 in over a decade. The Detroit series where Derek Jeter got hurt. That's the last time they had a home field advantage in the American League Championship Series.
Only three possible games where midges could swarm and ruin the Yankees, not four. And I think that's definitely, definitely important here.
And by the way, one last thing before we get your calls about that. This is the most frequent American League opponent the Yankees have had in postseason history.
Doesn't shock me.
And what's the record against this postseason opponent?
So they've played them 6 times.
And
the Yankees have a record of 4-2. They beat them in 98. They beat them in 2017. They beat them in 2020. They beat them in 2022. The Indians, or the Guardians, but the Indians at the time, beat them in 97 and 2007. So the Yankees are 4-2 series-wise all-time against Cleveland, but they've only faced them one time in the American League Championship Series, and that was back in 1998. The Mets' most frequent playoff opponent, the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Amazing.
Amazing.
And what's that
amazing
record?
2-1. Mets won the division series in 15, the division series in 2006, and lost the National League Championship Series in 1988.
So there you go.
History means nothing.
And also on the Dodgers real quick, can we stop overrating that dump out in L.A.?
Dodger Stadium? It's just pretty because of the sun.
Great for the prettiness. The sound system stinks. I feel like every time you're watching a game there, it sounds like it's speakers.
This stadium was from 60 years ago.
Can we upgrade the sound system, please? Terrible.
Have you ever been to Dodger Stadium?
No.
I've never been. Okay, so you're offering a strong opinion on a stadium you've never been to.
I could Google map it.
Well, but you've never been there.
Have you?
Yes.
And?
He's got some truths to what he's saying, but he's not fully right. It's not a dump. It's a beautiful stadium for its age. Like, you ever meet someone and say, wow, they look good for their age?
Yeah.
That's Dodger Stadium.
Dolly Parton's beautiful for her age. Guess what? Her sound system might stink. You know, it's just time to upgrade.
I mean, that's very... You were borderline going to get in a lot of trouble.
She sounded great last year.
I was waiting for how you were going to finish that one up, but what were you going to say? Yeah, she looks great for her age, but I need an upgrade? I mean, what are you saying?
What was I
going
to say?
I don't know where you were going with that.
The Yankee starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. Yankee fans, if you're on your way to the stadium tonight, Gleyber Torres leads off at second base. Juan Soto bats second in right field. Aaron Judge bats third in center. Austin Wells remains the cleanup hitter catching. Giancarlo Stanton will be the DH batting fifth. Jazz Chisholm Jr. bats sixth at third. Anthony Volpe at short bats seventh. Anthony Rizzo is back batting eighth at first base. Alex Verdugo in left field batting ninth with Carlos Rowe get it done here on the mound.
Mets are making things interesting. They have a 6-1 lead, but Sean Manaea has walked the first two guys in the sixth inning with Freddie Freeman coming up. So Dodgers trying to come back, tighten this thing up. It's 6-1 bottom of the sixth inning. We will certainly keep you posted. Let's go to Scott in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Good evening, Scott.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, we're out in the parking lot. One thing you didn't mention is there is a New York Ranger game tonight. They're actually the best team in all of New York sports. So we're going to be in our seats watching the Rangers on one phone and the Yankees on another.
2 days into
they're
the season?
Regular season champs. What are you talking about?
Oh, I know. They put
a banner.
Costanza Human Fund.
Are the Knicks hanging the uncrowned
champions? Well, the Knicks are the uncrowned champions. Okay. The Rangers are not.
Yeah. I mean, no disrespect. Like, the answer to that caller, and he sounds like a good dude. He's at MetLife. He's with his kid. He's a Ranger fan. He's got the Yankee game on, and I totally respect that. The answer to his "the Rangers are the best team in New York" opinion is not to counter with the Knicks. It's to counter with the fact that there are two baseball teams in the league championship series. Jose Iglesias makes a huge error on a potential double play ball.
Oh, my God.
So the L.A. Dodgers have the bases loaded and nobody out. Freddie Freeman hit one to second base, and I think Iglesias was thinking way too much about turning two. He was never able to field it. And so the L.A. Dodgers are tightening this thing up with the bases loaded and nobody out.
I think
he was
thinking too much about a Grammy, I think.
Stop.
Okay. I think that
the ball came off the mound. It just took an odd hop. He's looking up at Francisco Lindor.
Well, that was the thing. He was thinking about second base. He was trying to turn two, and he didn't field it cleanly. And Iglesias has been so good defensively. You got to get at least one out there. He gets none. And this puts Mendy in a tough spot. He's got Phil Maton warming up. The bases are loaded and nobody out, and that's it. Manaea's coming out. So Mendy's making the decision right now to say, all right, Sean, you walk the first two guys in the sixth. Unfortunately, a miscue by Jose Iglesias. We're getting you out. And now the sweating begins if you're a Met fan. The Mets need 9 outs from their bullpen, and the Dodgers are set up to at least make this thing very close very quickly. Bases loaded, nobody out. Will Smith and then Tommy Edman are the next two scheduled hitters. He had Phil Maton warming up, so it looks like Maton's going to come in. Bases loaded, nobody out.
Did you think it was going to be easy, Evan?
No.
Of course not.
I said that I said that to you.
I know, so calm down. It's all good. Sean that was putting them over.
Don't tell me to calm down. I was always nervous.
No outs in the bottom of the sixth.
I think what concerned me is that when they built the 6-0 lead, they had such opportunities to make it 7, to make it 8, to make it 9. They had a chance to make this a different score, and they've been unable to take advantage of those opportunities. And look, the Dodgers have a great offense. The idea that they were never going to rally, they were just going to go quietly into the night, was never realistic, but now they've got to survive this. It's 6-1. Get out of this thing 6-3 going into the seventh inning. I would take that as a victory. So big moment from Phil Maton. Bases loaded, nobody out. Let's go to Alex, who's calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Real quick question, especially for Tiki, who's played the game before. I was at the Giants game last night tailgating, and then we went over by the entrance. All of a sudden, at around 5:55 p.m., Jalen Hyatt is first entering the stadium. He did sign some autographs, but an 8:15 start, Jalen Hyatt's entering the stadium at 5:50? I mean, is that normal? I mean,
well,
isn't he supposed to be there an hour before?
I mean, it depends. Some guys will get there early, really early, but you're supposed to be there 2.5 or so hours before the
start.
That's
it? Really?
Yeah.
I would have guessed earlier than that.
No, I mean, because we'd have pregame meal at, I don't know, 9 o'clock for a 1 o'clock game, and then we'd chill for a little bit. The bus would go over, or some guys would drive themselves. So I'd get there about 2.5 hours before a game. You don't have to be there. It's not like baseball, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what he's thinking, and certainly I'm thinking. Like, yeah, baseball players get there 5 hours before first pitch.
No, it's not that at all. I mean, if you have to work out, I mean, and potentially do a whatever with the trainers,
right.
You have to be over there many hours earlier because you have to do that up to 3 hours before the game. So you got to be there 4 hours before the game. But if you're not hurt, I mean, that's normal.
All right. So the caller was mad at Jalen Hyland, and Tiki Barber is giving him a hall pass. He's saying it's okay. He's not a bad guy. Let's go to Connor in Amityville. What's up, Connor?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you? Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just have to say, Joe Douglas has made a litany of amazing decisions as a Jets GM. Firing Robert Saleh has got to be up there as number one. Has to be. There's about 31 games left in Aaron Rodgers' career.
Here's the reason.
It's only
I can't,
great if it works.
Well, here's the reason I can't accept that he hired Robert Saleh.
What was that litany of a move?
I mean, he brought the coach in. And here's the thing about Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas has made a lot of good moves building a roster, and I give him credit for that. Phil Maton gets a huge first out. Will Smith at a high pop up. Iglesias is battling the sun, and he caught it. So bases loaded, nobody out. Turns into bases loaded, one out. With the Mets clinging to a 5-run lead here in the sixth inning. So Joe Douglas has made a lot of moves building a roster. And he's made a lot of really good moves building a roster.
Of course he has. It's why he's escaped criticism through the lack of coaching or quarterback development.
Well, because that's the problem. He hasn't developed a quarterback. He never developed a left tackle. Failed on one.
Right.
And he picked the wrong coach. I'd argue the three most important decisions that a decision maker needs to make in the NFL is coach, quarterback, and left tackle. And he's failed on all of them.
I think the one thing that saves him is the fact that we now know Woody wants to be involved with the decision-making.
Right.
It's probably been that way for a long time.
And by the way, Woody made the decision, not even Robert Saleh.
Right.
Fire.
So we know that Woody wants to be involved with how his team looks, what the coaching staff looks like, everything. And I think a lot of people give Joe Douglas credit for taming that, like mitigating
that.
Right. Not letting it be an emotional takeover with every decision that matters for coaching or position players or quarterback or whatever it may be. So Joe Douglas is kind of that filter between Woody and what actually is happening. That's why he gets credit. It's why he's around.
Yeah. Well, did Joe Douglas want to fire Robert Saleh? Woody made the decision, but is Joe Douglas, you think, happy about that decision?
No, I don't think Joe Douglas wanted to because he knows what that does to a team.
Right.
I mean, this decision was made in order to create spark for this team.
Right.
But it very rarely does that.
Tommy Edman with a base hit past a diving Pete Alonso. So the Dodgers are rallying. The tying run is at the plate. A two-run single by Tommy Edman. Maton got ahead of him, too. He was ahead 0-2. We're thinking strikeout. We're thinking maybe they can escape this. And unfortunately, Edman comes through with a two-run single. And so now it's a 6-3 game. It's a play that Pete really should have made. It went off of his glove. He dove, but it went underneath him. And honestly, Pete, who's been very good defensively mostly this season, that's a play he's got to make.
I'm being honest with you. It's not going to be an error, but
no.
It should be.
He was also screened by Freeman there running right in front
of him. Yeah, probably affected him a little bit.
Doesn't matter.
But Pete knows he's got to make that play.
Ball's on glove. It's like a ball on football hand. Football hits your hands, you got to catch it.
And now Max Muncy with a home run earlier is the tying run at the plate. Oh, God, I got a stomachache. See, I knew this wouldn't be easy, and it's not a lot of fun. and the Mets, who had a huge lead. They were up 6-0. We're all feeling good. We're all partying. And now we're all dying together. Doesn't that feel good?
No, you're not dying. You're still leading.
I mean,
for
now.
No, on an off day tomorrow, you got 6 outs out of Diaz. What could
Max
go wrong?
Max Muncy is 3-for-4 against Phil Maton in his career with a home run. So what could go wrong? He could tie the game up with one swing. What could go wrong.
Or he could hit into a double play.
Or he could hit into it. And by the way, Sean's in full troll mode like he was for 161.
No, not at all.
Full troll mode.
Yeah, that worked.
Braves
out
are coming back, and he's like, Evan, I hope you bet again. I hope you bet against the Mets.
Guys, you got Edwin Diaz. Nothing's going to go wrong today. Don't worry about it.
Listen to this guy. He's the worst. Good thing his Giant team sucks and his Ranger team's not going to win a damn thing.
Same amount of wins as your football team, pal.
Yes. Oh, God. What? Want me to take a break? That's probably a good idea for my own mental health. We'll take a very quick break. We'll get into the Yankee lineup tonight. I know that Sean gave it, but I got some thoughts on the decisions that Aaron Boone made. And we'll get you set for Yankee baseball and Jet football. We are live from American Dream right here on The Fan. In less than an hour, the New York Yankees play game one of the ALCS against the Cleveland Guardians at Yankee Stadium in about an hour and 45 minutes. Right across the street from where we're at, the New York Jets play the most important game they've played in 9 years, Monday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills, and the Mets are trying to survive. They have a 6-3 lead. It's the top of the seventh inning. They faced a huge dilemma in the bottom of the sixth inning. Bases loaded, one out in a 6-3 game. And Kiki Hernandez, who I have said numerous times today is the most punchable face in all of Major League Baseball, hit a routine ground ball to third. Mark Vientos bobbled it ever so slightly. But the Mets were still able to turn a 5-4-3 double play with Pete Alonso keeping his foot on the bag. It got challenged. It got reviewed. It got upheld. And so the Mets are 9 outs away. They have a 3-run lead, and they're trying to add some insurance runs, which would make me feel very, very comfortable. It feels like they need said insurance runs. They just got a couple of outs, 3 outs from Phil Maton. They do have a fully available Ryan Stanek out of the bullpen. You have Edwin Diaz. You have Reed Garrett. I don't think you have Jose Budo, obviously, or David Peterson, based on last night. And I'll be very curious how aggressive Mendy's going to be with Diaz. You know, Edwin Diaz has been asked to come in during the postseason at times in the seventh inning. Is he going to ask for how many outs from his closer, Edwin Diaz? The Dodgers are going to have 9-1-2 up in the seventh inning. So very interesting for Carlos Mendoza as the Mets try to close this game out and bring it back to Citi Field, tied 1-1. Yankees, Guardians, they're about to start in about an hour. You'll get the pregame show coming up in 25 minutes. Yeah. Are we booing the Guardians or are we booing the Yankees? Because there's a lot of Met fans here, so I'm not sure what to expect.
Unbelievable.
Well, you know, it's a very special time of year to have both of these teams in the LCS. It's very unique.
That's so weird. I thought the Met fans wanted the Yankees in the World Series. Now they're booing them.
I don't, personally. I can't speak for every other Yankee Met fan. And also, I can't think about it. You know, I think the days to think about the Subway World Series were the days before the LCS started.
Yeah.
I think once the LCS starts, it's a war, man. You're in the middle of a battle.
You farm your own land. I totally agree. And on that, we brought up Travis Kelce earlier.
Yeah.
Forgot Travis Kelce grew up in the Cleveland area, a Guardian fan.
Oh, wow.
So
you think he goes like Cleveland hat, Cleveland jersey?
Oh, he's rocking a Guardian hat tonight for sure.
I mean, I respect that. He's a Guardian fan.
Of course. My question is, what is Taylor Swift wearing?
Yeah, I think she's got first of all, she's not going to wear anything
in
relation to the team.
She might do a cutesy Yankee cap.
No, she's not wearing a Yankee hat.
Why not?
Because she's with Travis. She's going to show support for Travis's baseball fandom.
You ever hear of a house divided? Plenty of people.
Yeah, but I don't think in this case, like, is Taylor Swift a Yankee fan?
Well, don't sing Welcome to New York if you're not.
Why? There's other teams that play in New York.
She's not a Met fan, if I think we know.
Frank Sinatra sings New York, New York. He's in the New Jersey Hall of Fame.
Well, don't make me say anything bad about New Jersey. This place is great.
So then, well, I just set you up.
Yep. Nope. We're good.
I thought Taylor Swift is like an Orioles fan for some reason.
An Orioles?
Yeah, I thought
Elaine Bennis from Seinfeld?
Yeah, I heard that. Okay. Is that not a true rumor?
You heard that from who?
I know people.
Somebody emailed a Rico B and tell you that she was an Oriole?
I don't think I got it from the Rico B. Yeah. I may have gotten it from my DMs. Yeah. I get some very interesting secrets from my direct messages.
Oh.
And I think I heard that Taylor Swift's a diehard Oriole fan.
Well, then she's having a miserable, miserable offseason. By the way, the Rico, when could we expect it with a Jet game tonight?
Rico is going to be. You ready for this? I'm
glad
you asked. Thank you for queuing this up. So the Met game is in the seventh inning. The way that time is looking, I think we're off the air before the game is over.
That's right.
So I'm going to stay here to watch the rest of the game, and then I'm going to do a Rico Bronya as I drive home to go back home. So it'll be a drive home from MetLife, Rico, because between the Jets playing at 8:20 and the Yankees playing, I just don't have time.
So I like
I'm going to do it as I'm driving home. Mets failed to score in the seventh. They had a runner on second and one out. Jesse Winker struck out. Jose Iglesias struck out. He's had a rough day. Had one hit in this game, but he's 1-for-4 and made that big error. And so the Mets will go to the bottom of the seventh inning trying to protect this 6-3 lead. So, yeah, I will do a post-game Rico on my drive home. Hopefully it's not a depressing, miserable Rico, and hopefully it's a happy Rico that they've tied this series up at 1-1.
Now tell me if you respect this move.
Go ahead.
We are heading to the bottom of the seventh here for the Mets and Dodgers.
Yes.
Lugie is going to have to watch the end of this Met game. He's on his own for a ride home. I am not waiting for this Met game to end. I am flat leaving Lugie at American.
So what are you going to do, Tommy?
So he's right. He's my Bobby Bacala to my Uncle Junior.
Got to get home for the Yankees.
So I can't leave. Positive Tommy has to stay. So anybody that lives in the Kew Gardens area, Long Island area, you have a chance to drive me home tonight.
I'm leaving Tommy behind.
Free of charge. I won't even charge you. That's right. I just need a ride back in about...
Let me get how you quoted that. You have a chance
an opportunity.
To drive Positive Tommy home.
Yes. Two bridges, by the way.
Two bridges. We'll talk. We'll chit-chat. And, I need a ride home.
You see how many hands were raised?
Nobody.
Many. Not one person.
Not one person. I figured I'd even get, like, a golf clap. I didn't even get that.
This woman has raised her hand.
Done.
How about that?
She's the one who had the OMG sign.
Kew Gardens.
Look at that.
There we go. Me and the OMG lady. Positive Tommy and the OMG lady will be driving home after a Met victory.
Look at this.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad that Tommy had to resort to this.
Why is that sad? I don't have a car. Hold on a second. How about we just peel back the curtain a little bit, Sean, right? You're nice enough to drive me.
Yep.
I brought this scenario up to Evan either last week, and everyone goes, I'm not driving you home. Bro, I know that. You're never going to drive me home, and you do a lot for me.
It's so also not on the way we're at.
Yeah, but you could drop me off in Manhattan.
That's not on the way either.
Manhattan's not on the way home to Westchester?
I don't go via Manhattan to drive back to Westchester.
But you could drop me off somewhere.
No, I take the Garden State up to the Tappan Zee. Cross on over to my side, like, unless you want to take a train from White Plains.
I have before, I've come to your house, I do not want to do that.
Then I would offer you that.
Why don't you give out your address, too? Jeez.
Well, I don't live in White Plains. That's a train station that's relatively nearby.
He lives in a ritzy area.
Yeah, you can stay as long as you want. I know that I can't leave. I have to watch the conclusion of the Met game. I got no other choice. I can't go in the car. It's bad... I don't know. Plus, I'm scoring the game. And one thing I've learned this Met playoff experience is scoring while driving, which I did once.
Oh, my God.
It's not an ideal thing. You got to be very, very safe.
Good for you. What are your thoughts on the Yankee lineup tonight? You had a thought.
All right. So here's my thought on the Yankee lineup tonight. I would pull the plug on Giancarlo Batten cleanup. And I understand, not to get into the weeds on this, but why not, on why Boone didn't do it. So the lineup is obviously Gleyber, Soto, Judge, which we all agree is 1-2-3.
Before you finish your point, you said you would pull the plug. You mean plug it in?
What do you mean?
You said you would pull the plug on Giancarlo batting cleanup, which would indicate that he was batting cleanup and you want to not
have him cleanup. Let me rephrase that. I'd pull the trigger on Giancarlo hitting cleanup as opposed to Austin Wells. I think sometimes we think way too much about lefty-righty and analytics and breaking up the lefties. I think sometimes you got to put your best hitters there. And Giancarlo Stanton is a major threat. And him hitting behind Aaron Judge right now would be the ultimate protection. Austin Wells is still a rookie. Austin Wells is a guy who's slumped the last few games. I'm not saying I'd bench Austin Wells. I like Austin Wells. But I think you've got to put the most fearsome hitter in the world behind Aaron Judge. And that guy is Giancarlo Stanton. Now, the fear I think Boone has is you have Wells, you have Chisholm, and you have Rizzo, and you have Verdugo. And you had a lot of left-handers. And you put yourself in a spot where Giancarlo is 4, and now 5 through 9, you've got 4 different lefties you're going to get in your order. It's only natural that lefties are going to hit back-to-back like you have 8 and 9 with Rizzo and Verdugo. I think you just have to do it. Honestly, I think the reward of Stanton protecting Aaron Judge is more valuable than your worry about Tim Herron coming into the game and eating up left-handers. So I respectfully disagree with Booney that I would pull that trigger on Giancarlo being the cleanup hitter.
It's hard for me to disagree. I can't even fight a disagreement. He is your best hitter. And, oh, by the way, forget about protecting or anything. The way that baseball analytics are charged, there's a chance Giancarlo gets one extra at-bat in the ninth if he bats cleanup. It just makes all the sense.
Well, not only that, I think if Judge gets hot, even before he does get hot, why would you face him when the on-deck hitter is Austin Wells?
Yeah.
Like, there's that feeling of, I'll take my risk against Wells more than I would with Aaron Judge. And I don't think you're going to do that if you have Giancarlo hitting right behind him. And so I think that's also a part of it, too, because I feel like Judge is going to get hot. I think it's only natural. And once he gets hot, look, you could always change the lineup tomorrow if you're Boone. So maybe if Aaron does get hot and you see that. Do you know who the Cleveland manager is, by the way? Does anybody know the Cleveland Guardian manager?
Yes.
Anybody have an idea?
It's the guy that replaced Terry Francona.
Yeah, but you know his name?
I have no idea.
So he's a former catcher. He's a left-hand hitter by the name of Stephen Vogt.
That's right.
Okay. One out in the seventh inning. The crowd is very excited about that, as am I.
Isn't it amazing how baseball managers now, you just lose track the older you get?
Well, I think they've also become, like, sort of meaningless.
And they have. I mean, in the 90s, I could name all 30, no problem. Now I'm working in the business. I'm like, who's that now?
Well, it's also so random.
Yeah.
I mean, Stephen Vogt was playing 5 minutes ago. Now all of a sudden, he's the manager of a team that's 4 wins away from going to the World Series.
Yeah.
But I think
you get Craig Counsell managing the Cubs now.
What was that?
Craig Counsell managing the Cubs now.
Are you just telling me that like it's breaking news?
Just letting you know.
Yeah, and the Brewers went further than the Cubs.
Yeah, Pat Murphy.
How many managers in Major League Baseball can you name?
Brandon Hyde.
Well, I didn't ask you to do it. I'm just saying.
Probably like eight.
Eight?
Yeah.
No, you could do better than eight.
Scott Servais got fired.
I don't think you want to do better than eight.
Francona's the manager of the Reds now.
that was a surprise.
Yeah. Ozzie Guillen still with the White Sox?
Ozzie Guillen is on a TV broadcast of the Chicago White Sox.
Gotcha.
I don't know if that helps you out at all.
Yeah. Grady Sizemore.
Yeah, look at you. I don't know if he's going to last in Chicago.
Yeah, maybe
not. Look at you. Your knowledge is very, very impressive.
That's right.
You're not just good looks. You got a big, fat baseball brain.
That's what I've been told today, or after the four times I was booed. So that's good.
By the way, we have a lot going on in New York sports. We have a lot going on with our baseball teams. But look where we're at here. MetLife Stadium, we got a big football game tonight. Should we pick the game, guys? I mean, should
Oh my God.
That's
should
a
we
good
run?
Call.
Tiki picks the Jets. Hey, this is Tiki Barber. I picked the Jets.
So he has to pick them. Wayne Krebet shredded Nate Hackett. Tiki.
We should probably go over our. Everybody went 2-1 over the
that's
weekend.
That's great
Evan.
Producing by Tommy Lugauer. Because
we're literally hanging out with a bunch. I knew you guys forgot. We're hanging out with all these Jet fans. They want to hear how Evan feels about the game. Are they nervous? Will they win? Will they not win?
That's true. We should do that right
before
now.
Before we sign off.
So our NFL picks are brought to you by Bud Light. I don't know if you knew that.
No, you just.
They're like the official beer sponsor of the New York Football Giants.
We'll get you that, Reed. Just go. Give us the standings. You don't have to make up sponsors.
Yeah, everybody. No, they are, though.
No, I'm teasing. Go ahead.
That one's actually right.
Yes.
Yeah, I went 2-1 this weekend. Lugie went 2-1 this weekend. Tiki went 2-1 this weekend. Sean went 2-1. Me, Lugie, and Sean all got the Bengals right in the Giant Bengal game. I picked the Pittsburgh Steelers laying the 3, and I got that right. Both Lugie and Sean picked Tennessee. They got that wrong. I picked Denver. I lost that one miserably. Lugie picked Detroit. Sean picked Detroit. And Tiki got it right with the Ravens and got it right with the Bears. So as we head to the final pick of Week 6, me and Lugie are both 16-15. Tiki Barber is 12-19. And Sean Morash is an ungodly 8-23.
I'm red hot, though.
So let's make our pick for Monday Night Football. Sean, kick it off.
All right, I need the number first before we kick it off because I'm locked out of my FanDuel account.
You got locked out?
I got locked out.
What
here.
What the hell were you doing?
The way you've been betting, it's probably a good thing.
I had a rough week.
The number is Buffalo minus 1.5.
1.5. Look, all week I have backed the Jets. Jeff Ulbrich is in, and you get that boost from a new head coach. Aaron Rodgers, obviously annoyed, coming in here. Something funny happened along the way. The wind started whipping around. There is garbage flying around the parking lot. That doesn't bode well for the less mobile quarterback in this game. The Buffalo Bill fans will be singing Shout in that parking lot come 11:30 tonight. I think the Bills run away and hide tonight and win this game by 13, 17 points. And the Jets are left at 2-4 with my lowly Giants going, what happened?
This is from the guy who picked the Jets to go 16-1.
The wheels have fallen off.
It's amazing what a little trolling can do. Tommy, go ahead.
All right, Evan. So I'm battling two things here. I'm battling the fact that normally when a team fires a coach and that interim coach comes in, especially a guy like Jeff Ulbrich, right? A guy's guy, a dude, right? They usually get a bump. They usually win that game. But we're also dealing with a lot of confident Jet fans. I don't have to tell you guys this. When you're ultra confident in these games, it often doesn't work out for you. So with that being said, give me the Jets. I think they run the ball down the throat of the Buffalo Bills. They win the game outright going away. Let's say by 10 points. It's not even a sweat out. Give me the Jets.
All right. These picks are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL and the New York Giants. I got that right.
The crap.
Bud Light, easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy. By ELEC 825, Building Our Future. By Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. And by Saks Underwear with the ballpark pouch. So, I'm in a predicament. The predicament is
I want this football game very, very badly. I think this is the most important game the Jets have played in 9 years. I think the Buffalo Bills have proven over the last few weeks they are a very normal, beatable team. The problem is I do not feel good about this at all. I don't feel good about the way the offense has looked. I don't feel good that Jeff Ulbrich being promoted is all of a sudden going to fix that. I don't feel like Todd Downing becoming the play caller, where my assumption is they're going to try to run the football a lot more, which in theory works if it works, but it hasn't worked. And so I want to make everybody happy. I'm a people pleaser. I'm at my own building, my own stadium. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm with my fellow Jet fan. But I've just got to give you bad news. We're going to get our ass kicked tonight. And I want to be wrong. Yeah, Mookie Betts struck out. I want to be wrong. Like, I want to be very wrong. This is such an important game for a myriad of reasons. But I just haven't been given any reason to believe that, A, this offense is going to figure it out, and, B, that promoting Jeff Ulbrich is going to fix anything. So I'm taking the Buffalo Bills. Yeah. I'm laying the point and a half.
I'm laying the point and a half.
That's your season ticket holder.
Like you're laying 14.
You know what? I changed my mind.
Oh, no way.
No.
I changed my mind.
He changed his mind. He's a flip-flopper. It's an election year, so you can flip-flop.
I can't in good conscience pick against my favorite football team on this beautiful Monday night with all you beautiful, sexy people around here. So I'm going to say, especially since the Mets got out of the seventh inning, like that's a sign to me. So I'm taking the Jets, baby! J-E-T-S! Jets! 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 That's right! I'm with you!
The Bills make me want to shout. Throw your hands up and shout.
I hope you guys had a chance. There was an idea when we found out we were going to do this show from this beautiful facility. And one of the questions that was asked of me is, hey, if you guys are going to come out to American Dream before a Jet game, is there something special you guys can do? And I said, yes, I want Tiki Barber to throw me through a table like I'm a Buffalo Bill fan so we can jinx the Buffalo Bills. Unfortunately, legal would not approve that. So instead, we set up a fake table where everybody could take pictures as if they were going through a table here at beautiful American Dream. So I hope you had a chance to do it. I do want to thank everybody for coming out here. I want to thank the New Jersey Hall of Fame at American Dream and Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, Sunshine in a Can. I want to thank everybody from our sales team, from our promotions team, Steve Apria. We're not on the air without him. And, of course, all of you. Maybe we'll be back. You never know. Thank you very much. I'm not leaving because I got a Met game to watch. So let's go, baby. We have been live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Did I read this already?
Yes, you did.
So you know what that means? Yankee baseball is next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I got to go to the bathroom. Do you know where the bathroom is?
Yeah, it's around
Oh, my God.